Welcome to Poor Decisions, a podcast about craft beverages from an insider's point of view. Our primary focus is wine made in the Midwest, but topics include other craft beverages and products. Basically, anything you can pour is fair game. This is a special episode. This is going to be the first of our AMAs, or Ask Me Anythings, that I'm going to do periodically as questions come in. Sometimes these will be solo, such as today. Other times, I'm going to bring in guests, of course, as we usually have. So it'll be a little different format, shorter. We're going to focus on a topic that we're seeing some consistent questions about and try to go after it a little bit. So these will be a little pretty informal. Poor Decisions is presented by Fen Valley Consulting Services. Fen Valley Services is a specialized division of Fen Valley Vineyards dedicated to providing expert winery management and consulting services. With over 50 years of industry experience, we help farmers, winemakers, and wine marketers build successful, sustainable businesses. As a trusted winery management company, we offer customized, consultative solutions tailored to the unique needs of each client. Whether you need assistance with winery or tasting room operations, complete winemaking services, e-commerce support, or something else wine-related, our team of experts provides the experience and hands-on support needed to elevate your winery success. Learn more at www.fenvalley.com. This one really comes more from folks who know what we've been up to lately. I just got back from spring break with my whole family, my two kids, parents, brother, sister-in-law, their kids. It was a great time. And we went down to Cape Canaveral, Port Canaveral, and headed off on a cruise, a Disney cruise, to the Bahamas, and then back. And then we did a little stuff around Florida after that. So the question I've been getting from folks, both through our channels, by the way, you can find us on all the social media spots. Go to craftpoordecisions.com if you want to check us out. Question I've been getting a lot is how is the beverages on the cruise? That is something that, you know, I was thinking about going into it, not just wine and but other things too. And so I just sort of went through and took some notes specifically on how this worked on the Disney cruise. It had been since, I think, the late, like 2008, 2009, since the last time I was on a cruise. So I expected a lot of stuff would change, and it did. So a lot of things changed. Some things stayed the same. But regardless, our take, you know, after talking to everybody that was with us and kind of doing a little bit of homework myself, first of all, you know, a couple things. You know, whenever you're at an all-inclusive cruise ship, they're not all created equal, but in general, you know, I have found that it's not going to be the most inspiring craft beverage situation. I mean, and I get it. You know, they're trying to manage a very complicated supply chain. It would be sort of difficult to envision supporting a lot of local small producers when you're floating through the Caribbean on a boat, especially when you're serving as many folks as you are. So I wasn't going into this expecting a ton of craft options, but you know, I'm always curious, you know, where is the value? Where can you find stuff that's pretty decent? And also there's other things offered on the ship that I'll get to in a minute in terms of things like coffees and whatnot. So first things first, Disney is unique a little bit, I think, in that they actually allow you to bring on board two bottles each time you board per adult. So if you are at places where you can grab some stuff to bring on board, you can bring some of your own, which is unusual. A lot of times you can buy stuff on the islands, but it gets checked away until you get out, until you disembark. So that was kind of nice. So we packed a couple local wines to get us started, which was cool. And then we grabbed a couple when we were out and about. I will say, generally speaking, the Caribbean is not known for its wine. There's a couple reasons for that. First of all the major craft beverages, so you're talking, you know, wine, spirits, beer, and hard cider, there's a couple factors that go into things. I'm just looking at it from the logistics perspective, because you're talking about a bunch of islands in the middle of nowhere, so moving things is always a challenge. So the way that it generally works is, you know, liquor, first of all, they make a lot of things like rum down there, but because you're going to have the most bang for your buck in a package, because it's the highest alcohol, you know, that is probably the easiest thing to find in terms of high quality, lots of availability. And again, it just makes sense per, you know, ounce, per pound, per gram, however you want to measure the weight of the shipment, you're getting your most bang for your buck with distilled spirits. That's been true, again, having spent lots of time down in that area over the last, you know, 20 years, 30 years, that's been my experience. Beer is a little bit different. Most of the islands down there will have their local beer that they make. The Bahamas had one that was pretty solid, you know, nice kind of, light lager that just good for a hot day. And so because that's the hardest to transport, because, again, lowest ABV per volume, you know, those are the ones they're going to try to make local, because they're just not going to, it's not going to be cost effective to ship that around all over the place. And then wine is kind of in between, you know, it's higher ABV. So it's, you're more bang for your buck when you're shipping it, but because it tends to, you know, have temperature control requirements, and because it's not really made in that area, I find wine is the hardest to find in terms of high quality wine as you're traveling throughout the Caribbean. Not to say you can't find some good stuff if you dig around, but it's going to be your most challenging thing to do. So that's just sort of a high level overview of what, you know, what I see out there in terms of the craft beverages when I'm traveling to that part of the world. Specific to Disney, and again, every cruise ship is going to be different. Every line is going to be different, but hopefully there's something in here that you can take away if you're planning to do a cruise ship. I would say all-inclusives fit into this bucket probably as well. Some offer beverage packages, meaning you sort of sign up for a price and it includes like unlimited drinks. That's not how Disney does it. And my general experience is with those, really watch out for what is included in those packages. Is it just well? Is it going to be something really basic in terms of wine that you're really frankly going to be tired of after day one if you ever liked it in the first place? So the devil might be in the details on that. Again, Disney doesn't offer it, so that was not relevant. They did let you sort of pre-buy bottles at a discount, and I did the math. It was worth it. So if you're going to have dinner, wine with dinner, it's a great way to do it. They'll cork bottles and bring them back to you the following day too, which was kind of nice, so you didn't feel like you had to finish the whole thing. The list was pretty solid. You know, I found it had some really nice stuff on the list. I'm not going to specifically mention any brands almost ever, unless I've got a producer on here, just because I want to try to keep it fair, keep it neutral. But in terms of the wine, I would say they punched above their weight, at least from what I had experienced in the past. Beer, same thing. You know, they had really decent draft throughout the boat. I would say if you're going on a Disney cruise, be aware that every bar has a different set of beers on tap. So don't assume that just because you roll up to the first one and they typically had two at each bar. They had some just, you know, run of the mill stuff that was, you know, solid, especially again on a hot day. And then they had some stuff that was pretty solid too. They had a session IPA that was pretty good. And so it was nice to be able to get a halfway decent beer. Since again, when it's 90 degrees outside, I'm probably going to be going something white wine, beer, hard cider, probably steering clear of the big reds in that scenario. So it was a good deal. They also had a beer package, which essentially allowed you to get like a bigger beer for the same price as a smaller beer. Not a bad deal if you're going to drink more than a few of them. So that's something to think about there. And just in general, the service was pretty solid. I did not spend a lot of time looking at the spirits. Again, I noticed that was probably the best selection of things on board, which is, again, generally speaking, you're carting this stuff on a boat that kind of tracks. So I would definitely, you know, for those of you who are more into craft cocktails, there's definitely some good options. And the trends that we're seeing in the market, I think, held true on the cruise as well. A lot of focus on craft cocktails, they would have your mainstays, especially your Caribbean cocktails, your Mai Tais, your daiquiris, that kind of stuff. But again, you're seeing a lot more, bourbon based, craft cocktails. There's a lot of different stuff, a lot of, you know, unique stuff that maybe a bartender came up with. So that trend continued. On the wine, again, it was a good selection, good solid selection, kind of right down the middle. Stuff that, you know, they can know they can source on the regular, and then beer there too. Coffee is one thing that we've touched on a little bit on Poor Decisions, because I'm a big fan of coffee. I have a Gaja Academia at home for my use, and that thing gets a lot of use in my house. It makes a great cup of coffee, both, as the Italians would say, black coffee, so your typical kind of ground, you know, coffee, and then what they would call white coffee, which is the steamed or frothed milk component of it. And so some of these units can do that automatically, some semi-automatically. Mine's fully automated, so you basically push a button and out shoots a cappuccino, which is pretty nice. So when I travel, I joke, it's hard for me sometimes to find a decent cup of coffee because I'm so used to making good coffee at home. They had some pretty nice machines on this boat, and they had them at all the main restaurants as well as a dedicated kind of coffee bar area. Now, that was not included, so you were going to be paying, you know, $5-6 a drink for a decent drink, but they made a really, really good drink. So I would give them high marks on the coffee front as well. So, you know, we had a good time. It was not the focus of this trip, obviously. We were out there to spend time with the kids and get out and get some sun and some beach time and some snorkeling and whatnot. But it's always fun to see what's going on in the craft beverage world or in the beverage world. And every time I go places, I get asked that, you know, and whenever people ask you inevitably what you do on when you're traveling, people, you know, that you meet up with ask what you do for a living, and you ask them and you tell them that you make wine for a living, that inevitably leads to some conversations about the beverages at that situation. So, like I said, I thought Disney did a really nice job of providing about as good as you can do. You know, it's definitely not a trip that I would take if you're looking to experience craft beverage culture. You know, that's where you're going to want to go out to tasting rooms, distilleries, wineries, and really experience the local stuff. These trips tend to be about other things. And again, with the supply chain logistics that you've got to have when you're managing to bring things on board a boat, it definitely adds an element of difficulty that limits your choices. So I think that's about it for this AMA. Please feel free to submit topics. We're always here to try to demystify wine, beer, spirits as much as we can. So we love to hear from you as far as what you want to learn about, what we're going to be up to. We're going to do these AMAs probably about once a month, every maybe 4 to 6 weeks, depending on how questions come in. The next one is going to focus on sort of seasonal wines. So we're going to talk about some spring wines, some things that we're thinking about as it starts to get a little bit warmer here in the Midwest. But again, we're open to any ideas that you might have. So just shoot them our way. Again, look for us on craftportdecisions.com, or you can listen to us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.